God, we use the rule that the Creator does everything. Behind every friend stands the Creator. How do we use it in order to reach the revelation of the Creator? Go ahead.
It's something we can use every moment. It helps us change our relation and our connection to this whole reality. When I remember this, it helps us change our relation to our connection with the friends.
It's like a northern star, according to which we constantly aim ourselves, check to see that we're in the right direction. As Amichai said, we have to remember it. For that, we need one another. I already discovered on the flesh that without my 10, it's something I can't hold on to.
Only thing you can hold on to, that's your upper nine, that's the Creator standing behind them, and should relate to it. What we learn from the sages is that's the good what does good, and there's nothing else besides Him. And be happy for this. If you reveal this, if you remind this, you can be very, very happy and thankful for that, and always pray for the friends, of course.
And the minute we accept it and remember it every moment, the immediate thing to do is how I remind the friends, how I remind the parts that I can really influence, the spiritual part, my friends in the ten, this interconnection. There's nothing else, only He works and He depicts, and we have to constantly reawaken that connection between us.
This is the scrutiny. In the group we work in, if no one from you, who else? We do whatever we can, and then in practice we discover that there is no one besides Him. That's how the Creator is revealed to us. We simply have to make peace with it and lower our head, see Him everywhere, publicize it between us that there is none else besides Him. This we do by, if I'm not for myself, who is? That's that loop that we're going through.
It's a point of critique. How I see the Creator and how I see the friends in truth. And that gap between them is the place that you have to start asking to cover it with love.
If I could see that behind the friend stands the Creator, I would surely come to unbearable shame. That would bring me to the first restriction. Maybe we need to remember such moments when we had it and even increase them, intensify them so I would determine in my heart that there's this greatness and try to feel it, try to connect to it, maybe perform an action for the sake of the society that would force me to awaken the heart even more.
Like all the other rules that I'm not getting and don't understand. What is the Creator? I don't see the friend. But it's something that's written in the books, and we, with faith in the sages, try to realize it.
It's very palpable. The revelation of the Creator is the revelation of the quality of love inside of me towards the friends. If you want to bestow to the Creator, here you are, the friend is in front of you. You can bestow to them and measure your attitude.
It really helps to work with love covering all crimes. the minute we begin with this kind of North Star in front of us every moment, we develop new reactions, not from within our will to receive, being operated instinctively, but in a way that we react.
It's corrupt. You're asking the Creator. First of all, you're telling him, thank you for showing me through this indication where am I corrupted still. So please correct me. Until when? Until I will see him corrected completely. No corruption ever existed. It's my corruption. And now I see it. I see him as an angel.
Seeing the friend is corrected, does that mean that in my perception the friend will be okay now?
Yes.
So until I see the friend is okay, I still didn't make the correction and my work with the Creator is probably incorrect?
Yeah, you need to reach a state in which the Creator clothed in the entire world, the whole world becomes the Holy Shekhinah. This is our inner work. That's how we... That's how we should come closer to our general correction. What's so difficult? It doesn't fit many things, because in our corruption, our corrupt desire, it's also fragmented in this way, divided. So one thing doesn't work out with another, but slowly, gradually, it comes closer and eventually connects.
The place where I can't see happening is that after I ask the Creator or pray to the Creator, now I have to kind of justify the Creator. This is what turns out.
The friend, well, why are you justifying or not justifying the friend? He's like a movie theater screen. Whatever you screen on it, that's what you see. Or a computer screen. This glass, is it at fault for what you're seeing in it? One time like this, one time like that. What is a friend? Whatever the Creator is projecting through him, that's what you see. And then you see that there is no friend. It's your will to receive, corrupted a bit more or less, corrected a bit more or less. That's what's projecting for you the picture of the world. And when your will to receive will become more unified, more homogeneous, because you are attracted to, there is none besides him, the good who does good, then all the parts of your will to receive start to mend. And then it turns out that you see one world, the Holy Shekhinah, full of the presence of the Creator, only Him.
In other words, at the end of the process, I have to see the friend as I will not have any complaints against him anymore. Let's put it this way. I started with having a complaint to the friends. At the end of the process,
instead of every friend, you see the Creator. It's not, God forbid, belittling the friends. It's the correct perception of reality.
I didn't understand the last sentence. What does it mean that at the end of the process, you don't see the friend, you see the Creator?
You see that the Creator, the upper light, the force of bestowal, is clothed in every detail in creation. And there is no cruel person, no cruelty in the king's palace, and in everything is only one single force at work in various forms. And these forces are still shown in this way relative to you, because you are made of all those desires, and that's why you see differences in colors and sounds. But later, everything adds up and connects more and more and more to a simple upper light.
And how do you keep from escaping that we often do, to run, to escape into below reason, right? Saying, oh, well, it's the Creator, so that's the way it is, and then it goes away.
No, why did you start the path, this action, this treatment, in order to discover Him, in order to connect to the truth, in order to catch Him, grasp Him, to reach the most precise focus on the perception of reality. So what? Now you're just letting it go.
So on one hand, we do have to keep this flaw, leave it in, and at the same time demand that it will change in that perception.
Yeah, you have to increase the precision each time.
Without relinquishing the flaw.
To raise the precision of all the faults, because you have resolution that's 10 times greater than 100 times, 1,000 times. You can differentiate and resolve each little detail. Can't hear you. Cannot hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes. No?
We can't hear you, Michael.
Michael, open the broadcast.
His mic is open.
Hello. Bessela. Dov.
Okay. We have Vilnius.
Thank you. There's this dangerous exception that ruins everything. In the excerpts we read, this chain of scrutinies, when I decide or a part of the group decides, say, for example, that a friend is harming the group. And then you feel that, yeah, that's the way it is. And you justify the friend. So, in what should I correct myself? Should I ask for the rest of the group? How does it work, really?
I can't say it. So, it's so dynamic. It changes from state to state. Ask again.
The exception where the chain of correction changes my actions and the group's, when I or the group think that one friend is harming the group, say goes against connection, etc. So, in what is the correction? Is there a correction that is in me? It's as if I justify him. And there are such states. So, where is the correction here?
If he's harming the connection, how can you justify him? You need to help correct the situation, if possible. Maybe it's possible that it's, perhaps it's impossible, but then you are removing him from the group.
So here lies the question. When is it possible, or when should we do something, or...
I can't tell you, it's so specific to the matter at hand. When you all decide that you can't be with him together because he is truly not letting the group connect, he's making fun of connection, he doesn't understand it, doesn't feel it. It's got a lack of understanding or a feeling. And in truth, it might be a very high soul, very exalted, very special, except it can't right now can't come closer to the corrections with the same pace as the group because of its great coarseness, its heaviness, because it is specifically because it is great and important. When you're looking at the friends, you have different kinds, all kinds. You have bright ones who know, who grasp everything quickly. Don't think that they will go far necessarily. Those that go far are those who are very heavy. They don't understand so much. They are not able to advance. They don't grasp things. They're not so bright. They will advance more. They have greater coarseness, and more of it is revealed, and then it's hard for them to grasp. They're unable to feel, unable to connect. They don't understand why do we need to connect. Understand? There's a vessels from the shattering. They're very hard, very heavy. They will go far, but in their pace. That's why we have to see, as Rabash is writing, that as long as a person does not harm the group embraces him. But if he's starting to cause harm to the connection between the friends, the group has to remove him. But it doesn't mean that he's disqualified from studying on the path. It's just that his pace is different. He belongs to those higher souls.
There's this notion in the group, and it's accepted as common general work, that it depends on the group. If the group accepts it as something harmful or not, to the extent that the group is strong. There's this view that a personal request for correction doesn't work. We send each other excerpts that only in a common request, common prayer. But when the moment comes, when you're asking for the friend to be included in this general force of the group,
look at what's happening in the world and just try to imagine what should happen in order to bring them to such a connection where each one will feel the other more than what he feels himself. Why? Why more? Because he needs to restrict himself and feel the other above him. And in this way, everyone connects. It's something that's very hard to imagine, but that's what he's saying, that big picture that we see, that we perceive as history, geography, everything that's before us. We have to bring it to unity.
He talks about two kinds of eatings.
Yeah, of course.
Is that relevant for our work?
Yeah, if I have something tasty but you don't know what that is, then I tell you, well, you know, I'll tell you as a special person, don't eat it if you don't want to, but only do the blessing, the traditional blessing. How can you miss out on the opportunity of doing the blessing? So it's enough, it's like saying grace. So it's enough that you tasted, but you tasted it in order to say grace to the Creator, but you tasted it, and by that you awaken your desire. And then you no longer act out of wanting to give grace and with the intention and everything, but because that's it, you're already tied to the desire. I want it. The desire got an impression and wants to realize itself.
Yes, he writes there that the first eating is for sanctity and the second is for impurity or something like that.
Yeah. In the first eating, he felt no flavors. He had no reshimot. He didn't know that it's that good. He wasn't in business with the will to receive.
And how does that relate to our work now? Are we in this state of after the second eating?
Of course. Good. Yeah.
What is the meaning of the tree of knowledge, good and evil? What does it mean that the evil escaped him?
You read this introduction? According to your questions, you should read it again. I can't start now, too. The tree of knowledge, in general, it's the entire will to receive that the Creator created. That it already has a certain direction from the beginning to the end of creation. That's why it's called the tree of knowledge. Why knowledge? These are things that you have to read. You're lacking information. You can't just jump in and ask. Good. So, again. Again.
With a lie in its mouth. You shall not surely die. It is known that any lie does not stand if it is not preceded by words of truth. Hence, it is started with a true word and revealed to her the purpose of creation that came only to correct this tree, meaning to invert the great vessels of reception to the side of bestowal. This is the meaning of what our sages said to her, that it is said to her, that it said to her that God had eaten from this tree and created the world, meaning looked at that matter in the form of the end of an act is a preliminary thought, and for this reason he has created the world.
Because everything else, this is the will to receive of the, all the other trees are the will to receive of the still vegetative and the animate, and only the tree of knowledge is food for man.
As we have seen above, the whole matter of the first tzimtzum was only for man, who is destined to equal as the form of reception to bestowal. And this was the truth. For this reason, it succeeded, and the woman believed it when she prepared herself to receive and enjoy solely in order to bestow. You find that, at any rate, evil vanished from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of knowledge of good remained. This is because the evil there is only the disparity of form of reception for oneself, which was imprinted in him, but with reception in order to bestow. Thus, he is brought to his complete perfection, and you find that she made the great unification as it should be at the end of the act. However, that sublime Kedusha was still untimely. She was only fit to endure it in the first eating, but not in the second eating. I will explain to you that one who avoids a passion before one has tasted and grown accustomed to it is not like one who avoids a passion having tasted and becomes connected to it. The first can certainly avoid once and for all. For the other must exert to retire from one's craving bit by bit until he completes the matter. So it is here. Since the woman had not yet tasted from the tree of knowledge and was completely in bestowal, it was easy for her to dusha. And the second eating was in great filth. Now we can understand the severity of the punishment of the tree of knowledge, for which all people are put to death. This death extends from eating it, as the Creator had warned him. In the day you eat from it, you will surely die. The thing is, the gadlut form of reception extends into his limbs from the vacant space. And from the Tzimtzum onward, it is no longer possible for it to be under the same roof with the upper light. Hence, that eternal breath of life, expressed in the verse, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, had to leave there and depend on a slice of bread for its transient sustenance. This life is not eternal life as before, when it was together.
זכיר לכם על אהבת חברים אשר בזה תלוי זכות הקיום שלנו זכור אזכיר לכם על אהבת חברים בזה תלוי זכות הקיום שלנו אז תתנו לב לחשוב מחשבות לקשר ליבכם בלב אחד ממש אז תתנו לב להמציא המצאות לקשר לבכם בלב אחד ממש אז תתנו לב לחשוב מחשבות לקשר לבכם בלב אחד ממש אז תתנו לב להמציא המצאות לקשר לבכם בלב אחד ממש אז תתנו לב לחשוב מחשבות לקשר לבכם בלב אחד ממש אז תתנו לב להמציא המצאות לקשר לבכם בלב אחד ממש
השיעור מבוסס על מאמרים מהספר כתבי בעל הסולם. את הספר ניתן להוריד באתר קבלה לעם, kab.co.il.
אנחנו קוראים בספר
כתבי בעל הסולם, in the writings of בעל הסולם, volume 1, page 79, the freedom article, the law of causality. You can ask questions in our website and we'll ask them during the question, during the lesson, the law of causality, out of the freedom article by בעל הסולם. It is worthwhile taking some time to grasp such an important thing, meaning how we exist